we're going to continue in our study of 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 10 this week. We're basically going to look at chapter 10. Take it in one fell swoop. So, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage a war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord has given for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters, when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither did we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory, but let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you lay it out for us and you speak to us clearly. Now, Father, might we be faithful to hear what it is that you have to say. Lord, we pray for divine wisdom and understanding, that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds to give us that understanding. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I speak, you might give me the very words to say, that each person here might be brought that much closer to you. Lord, we pray for your blessing on this time this morning. We pray that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified, and that your people here would be encouraged and blessed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I like some old movies and some old TV shows. And when I read this passage today, there's actually a movie and a TV show that just came to mind to me. The Quiet Man. Anybody remember that movie? Am I the only one? Come on, John Wayne was in it. Margaret O'Hara. I mean, well, Maureen O'Hara, whatever her first name is. Maureen. And in that movie, John Wayne, people are just trash talking. Whatever. He's like, I'm not going to deal with it. No. He was saying, I'm not going to allow you to rile me up. Why? Because nobody realized that they're playing with dynamite. That this man was actually a world-class boxer who had literally killed a man in the ring with his fists. And he just said, I just won't get in a fight with people. I won't do it. That was the movie. And, you know, this is Paul. Movie that I'm thinking of, or the TV show that I'm thinking of, you know, Kung Fu. You remember David Carradine walking around and, you know, he's this meek guy and no, you know, he's just, I don't want to fight. You know, but just as when John Wayne finally did get in a fight, he could certainly do more than hold his own. You know, David Carradine in Kung Fu was like, no, I don't want to fight, but somebody, and he's like, you know, he was just that much better. Now, Paul, we've kind of, in the part of the letter that we've read today, we see a definite shift. Previously, he's been talking about stuff that he had laid before them. He had made challenges and held the Corinthian church, their feet to the fire on some issues, and spoken about how they're doing that and given them some encouragement on how to do it better. And really just from there. Now here in this passage, we have this shift where now Paul is defending himself against attacks against him. You know, he wrote this letter. And we say, you know, sure he can write powerful and talk big talk while he's not here. And Paul's going, you know, when you write a letter, you have to be clear on what you say. And he was clear. And he spoke with authority. But he's a meek guy. He's whatever. Well, who else do we have? Who else can we think of who was meek? And gentle. That's Christ. Paul starts out, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. Now Jesus could put the beat down if it was needed. He did in the temple. One man made himself a whip, went in there and said, what you're doing to my father's house is just wrong and I'm not putting up with it anymore. They had finally gone too far. And he cleared them out. Ran them all out with a whip. Of course, the day they showed up to arrest him, he said, and we're here to, I'm Jesus. Boom. Everybody falls down. Yeah, he had a little power. He could have called upon the angels of heaven, the armies of heaven, to come to his defense. But he came meekly and gently. He only brought the stick when he absolutely had to. And there were times where we look to our minds, our earthly minds, that he should have brought the stick, like when he was arrested and crucified, saying, Jesus, what are you doing? Letting yourself be crucified. But that's why he came. So he allowed it. But there were several times, again, remember, where they attempted to harm him, and he just walked through. Just walked through the crowd. See, he had the real power. And he didn't have to be the guy who struts and tries to talk up himself and say, "Hey, look how big and strong and important I am. Huh? Look at me. Huh? I know it's not that impressive, but pretend." I could be up here posing, talking about all the great stuff I've done, comparing myself to myself. I did this, I did that, And Paul's saying, hey, these are not the people that you're supposed to be listening to. This is not the methodology that we're supposed to be using. We're not supposed to be going that direction. You see, people in this letter he's referring to, they're looking at just the surface. The ones who look impressive. You ever met somebody who looked impressive, or they gave you like a really impressive resume and whatever, and then they got the job to do the job, and it was like they hadn't a clue? I mean, they talked the talk, and if you listen to them, you would have thought that they had invented the internet. But instead, it's when it comes time to do it, there's nothing there. They just don't have the tools. See, if you look deeper, we need to look beyond the surface and deep into the spiritual, which is Paul is telling them here. Because the tools, the weapons that Paul brings to bear aren't these earthly things that, earthly weapons, that they really don't have any real power. It's the heavenly weapons, the divine weapons. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. And they just don't have divine power to win, but they demolish. Okay. Is there a difference between break and demolish? Defeat and demolish? Yes. Demolish. When you demolish a structure, you literally remove it. And you don't take it out whole, but you take it apart piece by piece. And all the separate parts are scattered to various places. When we demolish a building, they gut it, they take out all the various parts, they bust down the structure, they dig up the foundations, and you come back later and you would never even know there was a building there. That's demolished. And this is the divine power, the weapons that Paul has at his hands are those that have divine power to demolish strongholds, demolish arguments, demolish pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. Demolish. But he looks like a wimp. He doesn't sound impressive. He's not all that handsome. Paul and I, we could be the same guy. Don't look like much. Don't sound that great. Except Paul's got the divine power. I'm not going to make that claim. Paul was anointed of God and had the power. And when he was working in his office as apostle, according to the will and direction of the Holy Spirit, the power of God was available and there to do what he needed to do. And he's saying, you're not going to win if you come up against me. When you're coming up against me, in this case, you're not coming against me, you're actually coming up against God. You know, don't look at me. You're looking at me. I'm just the messenger. You need to be looking at Jesus. That's what Paul is telling them. Don't look at the surface. That's what they're getting all. Does the cover of this book look impressive? Matter of fact, looks rather tattered and torn. There's even a water ring on it where somebody set a wet cup on it at one time. It wasn't me. Doesn't look impressive. In fact, if I'm just going by this cover, the surface, I should probably throw this book away. This book contains the Word of God. There is no book that is more powerful. No book that is more important. And more importantly for me, this particular book is my personal daily Bible. So this is where I've got little notes written in. I've got scribbles here and there, underlinings, this and that. Without this, I literally am lost. But if I just looked at the surface, what have I got? Junk. It really is a nasty looking cover. You look at Paul on the surface, what have you got? Guy that doesn't talk so great, he's not all that handsome. Not that impressive to look at. But oh, when the Holy Spirit is on him in power, get out of the way. And they're forgetting about that part. Saying, you know, if anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. He says, you know, I am a Christian. Yeah, so am I. And you might want to consider the fact that, oh yeah, I'm the apostle that brought the word of Christ here. I'm your spiritual father or grandfather. Don't be judging based upon worldly criteria, but instead judge by godly criteria. Paul says, I'm not going to boast beyond what's right. I did this. This and this, because the Lord enabled me. That's Paul's boast. I came here to Corinth, and I brought the gospel. And I want to go farther, just as soon as you guys are ready. That's what he's telling them. So we have Paul in his letters, and we have Paul in person, and Paul's saying, don't doubt what I can and will do in person. Because this boast that I've given is in the Lord. I am boasting only in the Lord. But him who boasts, boasts in the Lord. This is what the Lord's done. Paul ends with Verse 18, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. So people are getting all excited about these guys who are walking around. He's going to be talking to them more about that in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be looking at some of these false apostles and some of these others. But those who are coming can lifting themselves up. Those who come tooting their own horn, look at me, look how glorious I am. Now, first off, if they're saying look at me instead of look at Christ, hello, maybe these aren't the people you should be impressed by. And that's what Paul's trying to bring home to these people. You're letting these people who have shown up after I left and are doing all this self-aggrandizement, they're talking about how great they are, and they're comparing themselves to themselves. You know, hey, I sound pretty good if I compare myself to myself. And he's saying, but that's not who's approved. It's who the Lord commends that's approved. Now, how do you know whether or not the Lord has commended somebody? Look at the fruit of their work. What's happening? Prayer. Touch of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Holy Spirit will speak to you in this area. The Lord will say, this is the one whom I approve. Well, He said that for His Son Jesus. Look at Him. He got crucified. Didn't He come out and say, this is My Son with whom I am well pleased? So it doesn't mean that we're going to have a life that doesn't have any problems or difficulties or have challenges. That's not what the commendation or approval of the Lord entails. No, it entails obedience. This is the one who's being obedient to My word. And you can look and you can see the obedience and the following of God in their lives. We look at the life of Christ, all we see is the obedience to the Father's will. That's all His life is. When we look at Paul, after the Holy Spirit came upon him, he did the best he could to walk in the footsteps of Christ following God. He said, follow Me as I follow Jesus. And the Lord commends him for that. We need to not be impressed by the self-promoters. We need to not be self-promoters. I know it's real easy to fall into that trap, particularly in the world that we live in, because the world tells us that, hey, if you don't tell everybody how great you are, who is? Right? Don't we have to a certain extent? Don't I have to be a self-promoter? Paul's not shy about what he's done. He does boast in the Lord. And has said, this is what I've done, but he's not taking credit for anything that he hasn't. But he's not made it his occupation to be a self-promoter. He's made it his occupation to be a promoter of God. And he will take dirt all day long against his own reputation, as long as the reputation of God is the one that's lifted up and glorified. So we need to seek to be an obedient follower of Christ as the Lord commands us. The commendation of the Lord is the only commendation we really need. Now, many of you have probably heard the illustration before about the virtuoso pianist who's giving a concert, and he's playing away, and there's some old guy up, and he just keeps watching them, and there's one line in the piece that he's playing, which is very difficult, and he misses one note. And his get to the end, and everybody else is just except this old guy. He's sitting up there, and he's just shook his head. Yeah, this virtuoso pianist who's got all this renown just shakes his head and saddened by his performance. People say, "Why are you so upset?" "Because I failed." "Well, everybody loves except that one old guy." "Yeah, but the old guy is my teacher. That was my instructor. And I didn't live up to the standard that he knows I'm capable of doing. That's the commendation I'm looking for." That's where we need to be going, to our instructor, to God, to God's Word. And we receive our commendation from the Lord. At the end, we'll receive that "well done, good and faithful servant." That's the only commendation we truly, truly, absolutely have to have. If we're seeking our commendations from anywhere else, we're looking in the wrong place. And if we're following those people who are seeking their commendations from another place, then we're following the wrong people. We need to remember that the Lord anoints and He puts those over us whom we should be following and paying attention to, as He commands and directs them and commands and directs us. Paul was in that position of spiritual authority, and he was following the Lord's will. And he says, "The only one who I'm seeking commendation from is from the Lord." And you, if you're chasing after these other people because they make you feel important, because they're seeking your commendation, then you're following the wrong people. We need to be paying attention to the Lord, and that He is the one whom we need to be seeking our commendation from. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the example that Jesus lived, and for the example of others in Scripture, like Paul, who speak of the trials and the difficulties of following You, but whom You commend to us. Lord, might we seek to follow You. Might we seek our commendation from You. Lord, might we not be swayed by those who have an exterior or a surface which looks good, but have no depth in the Holy Spirit. Right? We truly understand that the battle we fight, the battle that needs to be fought with powers that are divine, weapons that have divine power, that come from You. And we can only have them as we follow You, as Your Holy Spirit indwells and fills us. Father, help us each one to seek our commendation, our approval from You. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh.